Thanks to Alex Jones, Mike Levine, Peter Lance. They have gone beyond the call of duty. They're going to stick around for this final hour, too, and we'll take your phone calls, your questions, back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And when you call in, if you want to just tell Tom who you want to talk to, who you want to address your question to either Alex Jones, Mike Levine, Peter Lance, or even all three, just go ahead and do that. Peter, the Downing Street memo, is that going to create a problem for the Bush administration, which basically, if it's true, says that the evidence was long planned before the invasion of Iraq to go in there and take out Saddam Hussein?
And that they looked for legal reasons to justify it. They knew it was illegal, and that it's even worse, and that they actually had to come up with legal reasons to do it. Is it going to be a problem? I don't think with this media dominated by Fox News. Fox has brought the media so far to the right in this country that CNN has gone to the right. If you used to be a liberal, you're now a Trotskyite. If you're a moderate, you're a liberal. You know, it's like there's been very little reporting on the Downing Street memo. It's incredible. So the answer is it going to hurt Bush? It's unlikely unless our media takes back the responsibility of fairly and balanced coverage of the news, which they have abdicated.
You agree with that, Alex?
I am suspect of the Downing Street. Well, now it's 9 memos. One of them's Downing. We got a bunch of Condoleezza Rice's memos, a bunch of others where they go, yeah, he doesn't have any weapons, but this is the pretext. What I like to focus on is something that's been totally ignored is PNAC. And there's about 15 different documents there, but that September 20th, 2000, written by Dick Cheney and Jeb Bush, they say, and I'm paraphrasing, but it's almost word for word, Saddam Hussein is not a threat, but he can be used as a pretext to invade and use Iraq as a military launch base against Iran and Syria. So, you know, we don't just have Clark, we don't just have O'Neill, the Treasury Secretary, saying all of this. We have all the evidence. We have their own battle plans, their own strategic operations, and we know they manufactured the Niger uranium yellow cake document. That's now admitted. We know that. I mean, Rumsfeld gets on Face the Nation and says, "I never said there were weapons of mass destruction." Quote, "It's an urban legend." And then they start playing clips of him saying it. He said it 120 something times on TV. So I've got like 15 or 20 of them posted on my website. So the
is that before or after they showed the picture of him shaking Saddam Hussein's hand back in the 1980s?
Well, exactly. Saddam was our boy, gave him the weapons. He was the love child attacking Iran for us. So it's the same story over and over and over again. Oh, and by the way, George, getting back to 9/11 just briefly before we go to these calls, when I made martial law, 9/11 Rise of the Police State, this new film, we created, the first time I know of it, a bibliography, a syllabus for the film at martiallaw911.info. There's a big link on my main website that every article, every document, every source that we source in the film by the time code on the DVD is posted at martiallaw911.info. So when people say conspiracy theory, it's not a conspiracy. This stuff is hidden in plain view. That is, it's not a conspiracy theory on my part. It is a criminal conspiracy by a very elite element internationally in control of our government and private corporations. Just type, you know, I heard conspiracy theory earlier about shadow government. If you just type in government admits shadow government, or Daschle complains about shadow government, you'll get the Washington Post, where they have now, 3 years ago, announced, yes, a shadow government is in control of the country. The Pentagon Office of Strategic Influence is lying to you for your own good. The Bush administration is buying hundreds of millions of dollars in fake newscast. Look, everybody knows something's wrong, so it's time to get past the denial and admit that, and I'm not even blaming Bush. He is a puppet. His daddy is a puppet for these international interests that are playing us like a marionette.
Let's go to the phones. East of the Rockies, your turn. Who's your question for?
Actually, it's for the entire panel.
Okay. And where are you calling from, sir?
This is Jason from Iowa City.
Okay.
I just want to get the panel's opinion on the ultimate motivation behind all this, if there is a shadow government, or if the government indeed takes away all of our rights and takes control. What is the ultimate motivation behind all this? And I have a feeling Alex is going to say like the beginning of Armageddon, but
well, we'll go to each three. Okay.
Okay, I'll just hang up and listen.
All right, Mike Levine, you first.
Let me quote Milt Bearden, who was the CIA man in charge of supplying the Mujahideen back during the now infamous war against Russia in Afghanistan. And Milt Baird was asked in a film called Blowback, what his philosophy was in arming the Mujahideen. And the question was posed in this way, that they're sworn enemies of America. Didn't you think that this might come back to haunt us? And we're talking about $1 billion, a good portion of which went to bin Laden, which we're paying for now. Milt Baden's answer was this. He said, my philosophy, and this is a direct quote, and my philosophy prevailed, was put the guns in the hands of the shooter and let God sort it out. End quote. God is now sorting it out, my friend. That was their motivation, clear and simple, stupid political motivation. It was the same motivation. They had political motivation back when I was undercover in Southeast Asia during the Vietnam War, and they protected the heroin source that was smuggling heroin into the U.S. in the dead bodies of our GIs. And it's the same philosophy that is prevailing right at this moment, why the Drug Enforcement Administration is kept out of Homeland Security, because there's a simple equation. They've made a Central Intelligence, the State Department, understand that a country like Afghanistan, for instance, needs heroin to survive economically.
Mm-hmm.
So how can you have the Drug Enforcement Administration in the war on terror when their main mission is to stop drug trafficking, particularly now that it's clear that bin Laden is being supported by heroin trafficking into the veins and brains of American children? So it's, again, a stupid political choice, and it's prevailing right to this moment.
What's the motivation, Peter Luntz?
Well, I do think that Eisenhower was right when he warned about the military-industrial complex, and I do believe that the munitions, the arms makers, the defense manufacturers, one of which GE now owns a network and a studio, Universal NBC Studios, I do believe that they have a profit in war and conflict, and I do believe, and I agree with Alex, that after the fall of the Soviet Union, a new enemy was needed, and this enemy, which we helped to arm and train and create, as Mike said, in Afghanistan, was perfect for the job. But that does not mean that the enemy is not lethal and competent.
Yeah.
And it also doesn't mean, and the other thing is, when you talk about the shadow government, I mean, on my website, I deal in facts only, okay? And on my website, I have names. I name the federal people who I believe are culpable. I like to ask Alex who the shadow government members are. Give me the names of the shadow government members so we can go after them, so we can achieve something tonight other than just...
Well, let me tell you, in his defense, I have asked Alex not to give specific names because I don't have the kind of evidence and I didn't want it on the show. So that you can blame me for that, Peter.
All right, but what I'm saying is if you don't have the evidence, he doesn't have the evidence either.
Well,
if he had the evidence, he'd put it on his website, and he'd be subject to the libel laws that I'm subject to. See, truth is an absolute defense
of
the law. If you defame somebody, if you injure their reputation, truth is an absolute defense. And like the Jamie Gorelicks of the world don't want to get on the other side of a libel case with me because they'd be under oath and they'd have to open up. When you talk about the shadow government, it serves... No, and one last, I just want to mention one thing. He talked about Ahmad Salamani. He got his facts wrong. He said he was cooking up the brew and everything. That was the second case. That was when he was in the garage doing the second bombing. Ahmad Salam was a cab driver that Nancy Floyd found working in a hotel in Manhattan. He'd been in the Egyptian army. He risked his life. He infiltrated the blind sheikh's cell. And he was the best, as Mike Levine said, probably the most valuable asset we had in the war on terror. And because of bungling in the FBI, not because of some shadow government, some evil conspiracy, he was blown out. And that's why 9/11, and that's why the original World Trade Center bombing happened. The Luxor massacre happened in 1997. They cut 58 people, their bodies open, men, women, and children.
Okay, sir.
They leaflets, hold free on. The blind sheikh. I'm sick and tired of hearing about how these ragtag group of Islamics are innocent and they're all being manipulated by the puppet masters. It's sickening to me because I've been in the building. I went into Memorial Park. I looked at those 8 refrigerated trucks with the 14,000 body parts from 9/11. I was a friend of Ronnie Buka, who died on the 78th floor of the South Tower with a hose in his hand that day. And I'm sick and tired of listening to these people talk about shadow governments when nothing gets done. I think it's the height of disinformation.
Can I respond to this, please?
I hope you will.
Sure.
Okay. Sir, just hold your horses for just a second, Mr. Lance. Okay, do you here on the air want to bet me $50,000 that the Washington Post, the Associated Press, and Reuters, UPI, and every other major publication you can imagine, literally hundreds, reported 2.5 years ago the public admission by the... I was on national TV debating this with a member of the Bush cabinet. They admit that the shadow government... we're talking about the National Security Agency. We're talking about the National Security Act of 1947. We're talking about the hundreds of billions of dollars in secret black op budget programs. We're talking about, you're denying that there's a shadow government?
What are you
hold on. You have 3 minutes.
Clear.
Let me just continue.
You're not making, you want
to... No, I'm going to continue. Hold on just a second.
You're not making yourself
clear. Hold on a minute.
Clear.
Hold on.
If you Google
take,
shadow
sir,
government,
you're taking
I'm
over.
Sure the word shadow government.
George, hold on. Peter, hold on. Let him finish.
Sir, I'm looking at the New York Times and the Chicago Tribune, where the FBI cooked the bomb and trained the drivers. I put them in my films.
Stop right there.
All right, Peter, ask one question.
Exactly what he's talking about. He's talking about October 28th, 1994, the New York Times, they got a hold of the bootleg tapes, and for years people have said that's definitive proof that the FBI planned the bomb. It's absurd. He's wrong. He doesn't even know what he's talking about, and that's what really bothers me.
Sir, earlier you said that they just put bombs in Building 7 for national security. What type of cockamamie? You talk about slander and libel. I can back up everything I'm saying. I don't appreciate you throwing terms around like that. Larry Silverstein said they pulled Building 7.
Hey, guys, you answer questions from the listeners, or I'll do it by myself.
Yeah, let's do it. Go ahead. He's the one attacking me, George.
I'm attacking you because you what you have done with this shadow government and employment is incompetent.
Fine, I won't defend myself. Just go ahead and knock yourself out.
You're taking the eye of the American people off the proper ball. You're like the ultimate information specialist.
Okay, let's go. Enough. Alex, enough. Let's take calls. Wildcard Line, welcome to the show. Hi there.
Hi, this is Russ from Ohio.
Hi, Russ. Go ahead.
How you doing? Number one, just 3 real quick comments and 2 hot questions that might really help us all out, and then I'll get off. Number one, I love your show, and I really honor you for what you're doing, man.
Well, they're all trying.
Right, and I mean, you know, you're the only talk show host that, you know, you've got the guts to come up. And first comment is, you know, you could maybe help propel this. You know, we need some kind of a strategy globally, not just this country. This is happening, this global governmentalism. This trend we all feel we're heading toward, you know. How about like a weekly, you know, non-global participation, like a civil protest, not
well,
civil
protest or anything. George does have courage, and nobody else is doing what he's doing.
Right. And okay, number two, I'm going to make this as quick as I can. Okay.
Right.
Okay. I was awoken 911 by a phone call from my sister. I had just done a third shift. And the phone kept ringing, and she's like, flip the news on, flip the news on. You don't know what's happening, you know. Okay, well, here, to make a long story short, okay.
Well, please do it, because I got a lot of calls.
Okay. There was a clip of a fireman blocking traffic there. And as far as memory serves, that was pulled, that was only played the day after, September 12th, okay. And I met with someone else that, you know, just something at that point told me there was really something wrong here, okay?
Well, hold on. You've lost me. What's the significance of him blocking traffic?
Okay, well, what it was is there was a photographer there that was just filming the scene of just firefighters.
Well, there were lots of firefighters.
Firefighters supposedly doing a training exercise, but the way he pans his camera, and you guys could dig this up.
These were the two French brothers.
Right in time for the first impact, and the artificial tone of his voice alerted me. Okay, and the question is, the first World Trade Center bombing, 93. Whether he was a patsy or not, even if they allowed that first one to happen, wouldn't that evacuation, inspection, et cetera, have given them plenty of time to plant any charges that they needed to plant?
Well, I think as Peter demonstrated when he was with me on April 18th, they have been wanting to take down the World Trade Center for a long, long time, and they just never gave up. Now, did other people get involved in stuff? That's part of our discussion. But they just kept going and going and going. And Peter, I don't know why they didn't see the signs in 93.
Well, I think they did see the signs. Look, you know something? Nidal Ayad was the Rutgers grad who was trained in 89 by this Ali Mohammed, and he was the guy that got the chemicals for Yousef. He typed the threat letter from Yousef's 5th Battalion. When Ramzi Yousef was at JFK that night about to flee, and he saw Channel 2, and he saw the fact that they were calling Serbian terrorists, he was jealous. And he literally called the guy and said, I want you to add this to the letter and then send it out again. And he said, we know what we did wrong. We're coming back, and those towers will not stand. Or words to that effect.
You know, who has a motive in 9/11? Do the Arabs get something? They get attacked and invaded. Who gets oil and weapon sales, and who gets to destroy
them? Well, yeah, but Alex, you're falling into the theory that I would agree with Peter, is that after this happened, they decided, hey, you know what? We can benefit from
this. Well, either way, they're bad. But you asked a question earlier I never got to answer, and the other two guests did. You said, what's the goal? Well, a caller did. Why do they want this? Everybody wants to rule the world is the rock and roll song. Elites throughout history need a crisis to build an empire and domestically set up a police state. Why did Hitler firebomb his own Reichstag building? It's the same story. You know, Peter Lance earlier was saying, oh, conspiracy, Gulf of Tonkin. I'm 5 miles from the LBJ Presidential Library. Everybody always knew the Gulf of Tonkin didn't happen to start the Vietnam War.
Of course it didn't happen.
But they released the tape.
Of course it didn't. But
they released the LBJ tape.
It's ridiculous.
How is that a conspiracy? LBJ's on tape saying it.
Now, I know. Of course it was manufactured. It was a pretext.
Well, how is that a conspiracy then?
Alex, don't yell. You're going to break my headphones.
Listen, I'm sorry. You're lumping. What I'm saying is, Alex, what you do, the way you operate, and I'm looking at your memo. What did you say earlier about the 190? Memo. Didn't you say President Bush signed it? What was your comment about
Clinton first signed it in 96 and Bush reissued it months before 9/11, ordering the FBI not to go after the funders of Al-Qaeda and the Bin Laden family?
Well, no, in 1996, okay?
I just said it. Bill Clinton signed it and Bush continued it.
Yeah, Bush continued.
I just told you what it says.
Alec, please, just take it a step at
a time.
Stop
implying I'm not telling the truth.
I'm not implying anything. You said Bush signed you. The way you announced it earlier in the show, you made it sound like this huge pronunciamento that linked President Bush directly with
the FBI agents have gone on the National Press Club.
But listen, just because Chris Hunter wrote a book called House of Bush, House of Saud, a brilliant book, which proves, and there's no doubt, that the Bushes are cronies of the Saudis, that they benefited in the oil industry with the Saudis, et cetera.
Bush's first company was Arbusto with the Bin Laden.
I know all of that. I agree with all of that.
Wait, hold on. Everybody agrees on that one. But hold on. We've got to take this break. We'll come back. We'll take more phone calls as this five-hour roundtable discussion continues. Hey, the After Dark newsletter, that's available to you where you get 14 issues for the price of 12. The July issues, all about alternative energy, zero-point energy. Read all about it. Call 1-888-727-5505. You can also go online at coast2coastam.com. And welcome back to Coast with our guests Peter Lance, Alex Jones, and Mike Levine. All their websites are hooked up right now to coasttocoastam.com. They have been all night long. They will be tomorrow morning as well. If you want to go ahead and get to each individual's website, take a look at they do with their various thoughts and theories. Let's go back to the phones. We'll pick it up by going to our West of the Rockies line. Welcome to Coast. Where are you calling from?
Yeah, we're in Vancouver, British Columbia, West Coast of Canada.
Welcome to the show, sir.
George, you're doing an awesome job. Alex, I'm proud of you. You're doing a heck of a job, too. I just wanted to say, of course, that the first casualty of war is the truth, and the birth of disinformation is the second event. And I believe that it's forensically proven that basically there's so much missing concrete, steel, and glass from the rubble because they measured it and weighed it, that an EMP charge from C4 is the only thing that can break a building up like that.
It was aerosolized. It was turned into tiny particles. And just to go back 10 minutes, I typed in, this is key, folks, into Google. May have heard of it.
Yeah.
Here it is. Daschle government admits shadow government. And I got Washington Post, as I said, Austin Chronicle, legitimategovernment.com, and I've been told there's no shadow government, and here it is. The Bush administration has established a shadow government. This is the Washington Post, by the way, consisting of 75 to 150 officials of the executive.
Okay, okay, hang on.
Alex, that's ridiculous. That's not
Peter,
the same thing.
Peter,
that's
hang on a sec.
That's the government that was supposed to back up if they had a...
Well, I didn't mean to get it going again.
That's the shadow government that caused 9/11. Give me a break.
No, you just said there wasn't a shadow government, buddy.
Peter, just a sec, you guys.
George, with all I've been doing this night and day since 9/11.
Iran Contra.
Okay?
Hold on. Who's in?
When you have a guy like this on talking about a shadow government,
see, I'm not the one going mad. Though.
Alex, quiet.
You guys are repeating yourselves. Can I just say something?
No,
you know, Peter, you remember the Kennedy assassination, Iran Contra?
Do I remember it? I covered it for Nightline. I did a 20-minute piece on the 20th anniversary of it. Okay, I've covered 3,000 investigative stories in my career. Okay. I've never been sued, and no one's ever won a libel case against me.
Did you see that ABC News story about Northwoods, Peter?
I tell you what I'm going to do, guys. All three of you, I think, are beginning to suffer from fatigue. You've been on with me all night. I'm going to let you all go. Thank you for being part of this panel. I'm going to take the open line calls because you're shouting at each other. Peter, thank you. I appreciate you being on the program. You do a great job for us.
Okay, George. Can I have 1 minute to conclude, please?
Sure.
With all due respect, when you actually come out and say the Bush administration staged 9/11, it was part of a shadow government, and you talk about what Tom Daschle was referring to, where the whole sort of backup government, there was a whole place they were supposed to go if the government was attacked. That's completely separate from the idea that they're these puppet masters pulling the strings.
I agree with that.
Jones.
George, can I
close?
Case.
Okay. Well, hold on. I want
to
take care of Peter first.
Kind of rhetoric.
All right, Peter, thank you. Appreciate you being on the program. Mike Levine, I'll let you go next.
Thanks. Thank you so much, George.
Appreciate you being on the show. And go ahead, Alex, wrap it up.
Well, no. I mean, George, that's just one piece of 1,000 pieces. We have Tommy Franks leaving CENTCOM saying if there's one more attack, we're going to have martial law and a military dictatorship. So, you know, I wasn't trying to argue with Peter, and I appreciate you having me on. I think this was really important radio, and I've really enjoyed it. And God bless you for having the courage to have me and others on to talk about this.
There'll be more of that. That's Alex Jones. All of you did a great job for us. I'll finish up by just taking the rest of the open line phone calls. First time caller line, welcome to the show. You've got me. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Yes, I consider myself an individual, unaffiliated left thinker, and even so, and I know that Alex Jones is a conservative, but I have to say that he's the only one that's saying anything coherent here about 9/11. And I would point out that it's not just Fox News that is the villain in this piece. I was thinking of this Operation Northwoods not being discussed when its expert exposer, James Bamford, the top NSA expert, was on C-SPAN, he was on MSNBC and NPR. at the time of his book that was detailing Operation Northwoods, which was a plan by the Joint Chiefs of Staff to murder Americans, to terror bomb American cities, and blame it on Cuba to justify a full-scale invasion. In other words,
an
earlier approximation of 9/11. He was. They did not mention during any of those interviews. That explosive part of his book, the whole chapter, the basis of his book, all they wanted to know about was how can we make the CIA and the NSA stronger and tougher and more efficient. And then I'm thinking of other instances. For instance, this Popular Mechanics hit piece against people like Alex Jones and David Ray Griffin. If you look behind the scenes, for instance, 911truth.org had an article about how there was a total coup at Popular Mechanics, eliminating all of their former editors, and that one of the people that was appointed as head, the head of the Hearst Corporation, her husband was a former special assistant to the Central Intelligence Agency. He worked for a CIA-connected law firm with connections to William Webster, the former director of the Central Intelligence Agency. You have also, I think, a lot of disinformation coming out of some of the fake left, which explains, I think, the reasons they will not talk about the obvious complicity. If you look at a lot of the things that these researchers...
Well, also in Northwoods, didn't they want to shoot down John Glenn as he was going up into space?
Well, to blame it on Cuba, to blow up a ship in Cuban Harbor and blame it on Cuba, to shoot down people in the street, to send up an airplane with highly publicized people who were actually CIA agents, and then would land it at a strip, a secret strip, and then send up a drone plane and shoot it down, much like a 9/11, and then have a fake broadcast saying that Mayday, we're being shot down by the Cubans, and use it as a pretext to galvanize public opinion, just as they said, and as Jones pointed out in the Project for New American Century, they needed a second Pearl Harbor attack to justify what they said in that document was a plan for world domination, starting with an attack on Iraq, and then eliminating any obstacle to these neocons' plans for world domination.
So what I have believed is that this group of black ops people who have created this, I think they worked with and hired al-Qaeda to do the dirty work, to get it done, in order then to grow and utilize their own agenda.
Well, absolutely. For world domination and the police state measures that they had planned long before 9/11, and the most sophisticated billion-dollar surveillance system and protection system in NORAD is going to be outwitted by these Jim Cracker guys in a cave and a guy on a kidney dialysis machine in a cave. It's ridiculous, and I think we've gotten to. I was absolutely disgusted with this Peter Lance accusing and constantly heckling Jones and accusing him of disinformation. This is a classic CIA hangout to claim that this is just a bunch of bumbling idiots. They can tolerate that. They can tolerate that. That's a whitewash and would completely be acceptable to these guys that are plunging us into this perpetual warfare. And, you know, I think being on the left, I'm a little disgusted with some on the fake left because I was reading this article that many of them are funded by the Ford and Rockefeller Foundations on a short leash. If they talk about anything such as that is going to really open the eyes of the American public as to the willingness of this government to kill Americans, they lose their funding from the Rockefeller and Ford Foundation like Democracy Now! And the rest of these fake left outfits.
All right. Thanks for your comments, sir.
Thank you.
Appreciate you being part of the program. Next up, let's go east of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, this is Anthony calling from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Great show. I'm sorry that I missed the opportunity to talk to Alex and Peter because I've got a comment that leads to a question, which I think...
Well, they'll be on again, but probably separately.
Well, yeah, no, I completely understand. Yeah. And thank you, by the way, for taking the call and for doing this program. But anyway, my brief comment, which does lead to a question, I think also points to partly the dynamic that was going on between Alex and Peter just in terms of finding a common language, finding a way to speak about these things. If we say that, let's say it's a given, all governments are run by liars, there seems to be this parallel universe underneath what's going on the surface of global geopolitics. But if global geopolitics really is about gangsterism and really is nuclear gangsterism, which is what it appears to be, my question really speaks to the dynamic of communication. We're through the looking glass. We're in this Alice in Wonderland place where the American people in particular are so politically naive and so politically unsophisticated. We have been allowed to be so because we are so isolated from the rest of the world and because we have this massive technological monster. When you've got the media, if you look at Ben Bagdikian's book, The Media Monopoly, and you look at the fact that even the mechanisms through which we can communicate thought or ideas are controlled almost completely by this weird corporate global Alice in Wonderland parallel universe of whatever you want to call it, I guess what I'm getting at is how do we find a language, a common language, a way to find a new paradigm through which to speak to the masses of people around the world to get them to open their eyes. There seems to be no hope for the future of humankind because those that have power are just, you know, continuing to accrue more, and they're sitting on top of the crap heap.
Actually, I differ with that. I think there is hope for mankind in the future.
So how do we get to that point, George, where we can even talk about the fact
we're
that
doing,
Americans
we're
really
doing
have
it now.
To shake themselves?
We're doing it now because, you know what, they haven't been able to stop us. And as long as we continue to talk about it, we're going to you know what, Congress started making some changes in the Patriot Act. Did you really think that would happen? As much as I wish we didn't have that act, at least some people there are beginning to question some of the things that are in there. And I didn't think that would ever happen.
But it appears to me that what we've got is we've got this genie out of the bottle scenario where we are 6 billion plus of us. We can't possibly all be gathered under one tent, as it were, any longer in order to communicate as a global village, which seems like what, you know, pardon the cliche or whatever, but it seems as though there is no way now to back out of this massive entanglement of, let's say, human conspiracies from the dawn of humankind.
Well, I'll give it to you that we are in one heck of a web right now, and it's going to take a lot of work to get out of it. There's no doubt about that. Let's go on to some other callers. Thanks. Wildcard Line, welcome to the show. Hi there.
Hi, me?
Yes, you.
Hi, my name's Artemis.
Artemis. Theo. Hi there,
yes,
Artemis.
Hi. Yes. I just have a quick comment. I'm calling from Arcadia, California.
Sure, go ahead.
And I just want to comment, why are we so afraid of conspiracy? If you say there's a conspiracy today, you're paranoid, but then tomorrow if it's true, then you're perceptive. So, I mean, what is the worst that could happen? That we're overprepared or...
There are just some people who don't believe in conspiracy. There are others. I think the remarkable thing about the panel tonight, even though there was some major disagreement, they all agree that whatever is happening is unnatural. Peter has his views on why it's that way. Alex has his. Mike Levine did. David Ray Griffin did. Right. But they all agree that whatever is going on is not what we've been told. And to me, that's the dramatic part of the story.
But, I mean, I think that time we do get paranoid. I mean, if even the mildest version of that, of any one of their four stories or versions are true, then, I mean, it's a long time gone that we should be paranoid and do something.
I have used this analogy before. Have you heard the story about how you cook a frog?
You put
him in a pot and you simmer him, right? And then he's cooked and he doesn't even know it. But if you put him in this pot and it's already boiling, he's going to jump right out. That's what they're doing to us. They're simmering us.
Exactly.
A little bit at a time.
Exactly. So, I mean, I don't know. But thank you very much.
All right, let's be smarter than the frogs. We know that's happening. Let's pick it up by going to our West of the Rockies line. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, good evening, George,
good morning.
Or good morning. As it.
It is an early one now for us, isn't it?
Yes, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
And it occurs to me that while I enjoy Alex Jones and all the rest of the members of the panel, it does seem to me that if the government were as vehemently intent upon squashing the truth and censoring the truth, that one of the first measures it would have taken would be to pull down websites such as Alex Jones's. And that paradox doesn't seem to occur to him.
Well, but don't you think that would create even more suspicion? If all of a sudden Alex's website was taken down and some other people who were very vocal about all this, then they'd really have something they'd have to explain about.
And that's why a conspiratorialist can never be refuted.
True. Absolutely true.
Because all of the arguments that refute his position only feed into it, only feed into his fear and negativism.
But with every conspiracy, don't you think that there could be a little fire there?
Certainly. Not everyone, but in many of them, certainly.
Okay, appreciate you being on the program. Next up, let's go to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
How you doing tonight?
I am doing wonderful.
Well,
considering that I got hit, my car got smashed, and I had to corral everybody, I'm doing okay.
I heard you say that. I'm calling from Miami, Florida, and you have been preempted here by local news and all that other stuff. So on W something something something, you are it's local news that's going on right now.
Well, some stations carry just the 4 hours. Most of them do not carry the fifth hour because they're not aware that we do this once in a while. But I can live with that.
Okay. Well, kudos tonight, George.
All right.
Kudos.
Thanks. Appreciate you. A question?
Yeah, your question is to you, actually.
All right.
What is the one most evidence? And if it's not evidence, then it's the train of logic. What is the one thing that stood out tonight that would lead you to do a sequel roundtable to everything that we've heard tonight?
I think the one thing, again, that stuck out so much tonight was the fact that they did agree to disagree. And that tells me a lot about what's going on here. First-time caller line, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, this is Mike calling you from Oklahoma.
Hello,
yes,
Mike.
Yes, I am a first-time caller and a long-time listener.
Good to have you with us.
Thank you. Just a quick comment. Listening to the show, and I listened to a caller here just a few moments ago that I must concur with. And that is the fact that Jones seems to have a grip on the situations to a good extent. But he gets a little excited, and that kind of takes away from the weight of what he's saying.
He is a bulldog.
Yes, he is. The thing that concerns me is something that you stated earlier about the American people losing control of the country. And I gave that some thought, and when I look back in history, I look at the Jekyll Island meeting that took place in America, and I think that that is where we as Americans began to lose control of our country.
You may be right. Hey, we're running out of time. Our five-hour discussion, roundtable discussion, is over. I'll tell you what we're going to be doing on our next Coast to Coast, of course, our Friday into Saturday night open lines. But the very first hour, please make sure you're listening. Just a little surprise, and I think you'll enjoy it immensely. If you need to email me, well, that's george@coasttocoastam.com. And again, to our four special guests, thank you so much for being part of the program. Yes, it got heated.